even I've heard the testimony that Minister Simon had when one gentleman said he was going head on to a tractor trailer that was stretched across the whole road. He said he had nowhere to turn, he was going too fast to do anything, so all he could do was call on Jesus. He said, you don't know how God did it, but some kind of way they were on a bridge. He said, some kind of way God stretched the bridge.
Chapter 13 reads, the same day when Jesus out of the
And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no roots, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you today for being in the house of the Lord one more time. And Lord, there are many needs that exist within this congregation and with thy people. We ask you to search hearts. Lord, search minds. And Lord, we ask you, whatever that question or doubt may be, may you send a word to heal, may you send a word to deliver, and may you send a word to set free. Lord, help thy servant to hide behind the anointing. Lord, I must decrease so that you must increase. Now, Lord, my desire, my heart's desire is that you might speak a word to thy people. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen. 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 We were blessed to be in service Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week. Amen. And always talk about fellowship. And we often talk about fellowship, but we don't really do the fellowship. We find reasons why we can't be there. But my wife and I purpose that we want to find reasons why we could be there. And I don't know about you, but I'm hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Yeah. I have problems, I have situations, but I can't get answers sitting at home. Yeah. Now I'm talking about me, so I don't think I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me. So I needed answers. So I went to church the first night, and we were there in service, and I told the apostle, I said, I will be back, Lord willing, tomorrow. And I was back the next day, and then they had prayer Saturday morning at 7. I went to prayer Saturday morning at 7. Why? Because I was hungry. I wanted God to speak to me. Amen. Because I'm in a place now where I don't want to do what I want to do. But I want to do what God would have me to do. So I went to prayer. I left prayer and came to work. And work, we had a salvation class until 2:45, and then we left at 2:45 and went back to church. And the move of God was just so mighty there. Amen. And I spoke to Apostle Saunders afterwards, and he thanked me for coming. I said, we thank you for inviting us. Because of how the Lord moved. And did he preach? Did the young man preach Minister Simon? He preached. He preached when he said, if you miss him, you're going to miss a tree. He's right. If you miss him, you miss a tree. But what I'm saying is there are times when we need answers from God. You know, and yes, I love to be here, and I love to hear the word, and I love to be used by God, but there are times when we have to be like Elijah. We got to go in here and steal small voice that will speak to us. That was my desire, was for the Lord to speak, and the Lord spoke, and he moved mightily. We just thank God, amen, that we were able to have fellowship with them, and I promised the vision. Now, I don't know if you all realize the stature of Apostle Sanders. He is the presiding apostle and bishop over the whole church of our Lord Jesus Christ worldwide. I believe he's over 542 churches worldwide. But he didn't think it robbery just to spend a little time to try to encourage us to keep going on in the Lord. Matter of fact, yesterday when the service ended, he spent quite a bit of time speaking with my wife, myself. And he said, you know what? He said, God doesn't have to tell me when people are sincere and real. But he said, people don't have to tell me when somebody is sincere and real. He said, even though I've heard a lot about you all, he said, because God can tell me when somebody's real. Right? Did he say that? I'm not saying that's well, so I'm just saying, but you know, it's something about just having a heart for God's people and being in a place. And I told him, I said, Apostle, you know, I don't care about all the do's and the don'ts and all that. I just want to hear a word from God. Does anyone today just want to hear a word? If you want to hear a word, put all that other stuff aside and say, Lord, speak to me. Amen. Back to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We all have heard the parable of the thorn and the seed. But I just want to read verses 5 and 6 and 7. And then I'm going to skip down and read verse 18 through 23. Amen. Do we all have that? Verse 5 reads, and we talk about the seed, and he tells them in the parable, the seed is the word of God. Amen. So today we're talking about a seed. Verse 5 says, some of the seed fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7 said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now let's skip down to verse 18 of the same chapter. He says, he therefore, the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is affected. He also that receives seed upon thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. With that in mind, the topic we want to deal with today is an infatuation salvation. Now, I'm sure a lot of us know what infatuation is. You know, when you were a kid or a young person, you fell in love with someone every other week. Do y'all remember that? All right, some of y'all. Everybody would do that, right? You would fell in love, you would marry this person, and then a month later you were in love again. That's called an infatuation because it wasn't real. So an infatuation is a passion that is short-lived. Amen. For something or someone. A passion that is, can we say short-lived? For someone or something. Well, when you think about infatuation and salvation, some of us, when we first get saved, nobody can tell us anything. Yes, and they say, I'm running for my life. If anybody asks you, what's the matter with me? Just tell them I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I got Jesus on my side and I'm running for my life. And then about 6 months later, you can't even find them in church. Amen. Because there wasn't a real love for the Lord. I didn't get a chance to experience a whole lot, but I did enough wrong. And there were some things that I tried to stop on my own. But when I got baptized in Jesus' name, because I was for real. Can we say for real?
For real.
A lot of those bad habits. Some of them may have even been in this. When I went down in the water was cold. She healed my body, but couldn't touch my soul. But when I came up walking in newness of life, and all those bad habits were behind me. Yeah, y'all want me to tell y'all something? But I'm saying some things, you know, that you try to break by yourself. Because sometimes if I tell my wife, say, you never told me that, so I ain't gonna tell you. But there's some things that we try to do on our own and we just couldn't do it. Anybody got any testimonies of things that I tried to do on my own and I just could not do it? Now, I got saved in 1976. This is now 2015. So the Lord has blessed and kept me to be saved for 39 years in November. God is a keeper if you want to be kept. I'm not talking about I started and I stopped. And there were times in my early salvation when I couldn't completely understand it, that I didn't want to quit, but I was confused. But you know what? In all of my confusion, God always spoke and led me in the right direction. So I learned, even though I didn't understand the word of God, I'm so glad that I've never had an inclination or the thought to turn my back on God for 39 years. For 39 years, God has been good to me. For 39 years, hallelujah, all those bad habits that I had before I went down in the water, I'm so glad that when I got baptized, the Bible says if you get baptized in Jesus, you're buried with him in death. So when he buries you in death, all of those bad habits that's in your flesh, when you come up a new creature. And you're walking in newness of life. There are a lot of people that want newness of life, but they don't want to get rid of the old man. So a lot of people want to walk on this side of salvation like they walk on the other side. That is an infatuation. Because when you have a real love relationship, just like me and my wife, we have a real love, right? Just make sure you listen. We got a real love relationship, and we've been married for 37 years. We've been married for 37 years. Has it always been easy? Yes.
In other words, it was just
relationship. It was just a surface salvation. It was nothing more than an infatuation. So in the verse 21, he says, it lasted for a little while. An infatuation salvation, you can be in church, and you can be so happy, and then you go out of church, and all of that joy is gone. But I can tell you one thing, when you really get saved, like you want to get saved, the Bible says that when you get saved and you get saved right, then the joy of the Lord will become your strength. Somebody said, I don't have joy. I've been in church, but church just seems like it's nothing more than a mechanical issue. See, my church is called. It means it's an Autotron, it's an automatic salvation. It's like a robot. Y'all know what a robot is? An infatuation salvation would be like a robotic salvation. All you do is tell the robot what to do, and if the robot runs to a situation and it can't figure out what to do, guess what? It stops. Because you did not get programmed. Yeah. have a tendency to turn our backs on God. Now let us go to Acts chapter 14. We're going to go to Acts chapter 14, and we're going to read a couple of verses here in the 14th chapter of Acts. That being verses 19 through 22. And we're talking about getting out of just a surface casual relationship with God. You know, you guys are turning against somebody else. But ask yourself, can we all just repeat this? Is mine.
He didn't stop his mission, but he went to Derby and he
they messed up my name, I can treat them right because I'm really saved. So Paul, after he had gone through all that, went back to the same place. Because he didn't have an infatuation in salvation. And the scripture said, when he went back, he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to anybody today determined I'm going to continue in the faith. No matter what I have to go through, Lord, I am going to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith and that we must through. We shall go much tribulation. Enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 20 and 22 and 24. We're talking about a real salvation. We're talking about going through something but still staying in the faith. Now, a lot of our stuff is a mental situation. There ain't really no physical issues. But many of us won't stay in the faith because of all of this mental stuff. It possibly may happen. It did not happen. We can't stay in the faith. Acts 20, 22, and 24 reads, and now behold, Paul said, I go bound in the spirit. Yeah, you can stay in the spirit. You don't have to worry about anything because God will be with you. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
To Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Saying that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that but how many of us have been tempted to turn our back on God because of the stuff that we've gone through? How many have been going through some stuff? If you're alive, you're going through something. But Paul said that we shall through much tribulation. It's not, you know, in every English means it's not going to be easy. But you cannot quit. You cannot give up. You have to continue in the faith. If you go through things and you turn your back on God, your relationship was too casual. It was not deep enough. Amen. So he says, saying that the Holy Ghost witness in every city sends bonds and afflictions about me. So Paul is saying, I know I'm going to go through some stuff. He says that I'm determined to walk with Jesus. If you don't have an infatuation of salvation, you say, you listen, anything I go through is worth it. Because I heard Paul tell Timothy, if you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. So a lot of us want to reign with him, but we don't want to suffer. Now there's a misconception in salvation that when you get saved, everything from that point on is easy. That's not what the scripture says. We got to go through something to prove that God is good to you. You got to go through a test. Because as you go through the test, it gives you a testimony. So it's not going to always be easy, but you cannot quit. Now you can look at somebody else and tell them, don't quit. Well, look at somebody, talk to somebody, say, don't quit. Look on the other side and say, don't quit. You got to go through. Can we say thank you, Jesus? So Paul said, I know I'm going to go through something. But Paul said, I can go through everything because none of these things. Then this is when you don't have our infatuation salvation. I mean, when your salvation is real. Everybody else should give up on God, but God's been too good to me. Because God has been good.
For where is the
joy?
The joy. A lot of us come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday during the week. We pray. But where is the
joy?
The joy. I've learned to do that autotron, automatic salvation. So automatic salvation is I go to church on Sunday. I go to prayer on Wednesday. I go to church on Wednesday. I go to whatever the church is doing. But I don't have no joy. I don't have no joy. Well, how can you be saved and not have
joy?
Well, the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our
strength.
Somebody said, well, I'm just so weak. You know why you're so weak? Why are you so weak, Paul? You don't have
joy.
Because the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
Infatuation, salvation is always looking at the problem instead of the problem solved. But one of the psalmists said, I will lift my eyes to the hill from whence. Yes, I'm going through something, but I still got my eyes on Jesus. But infatuation, salvation can't understand the troubles. So when trouble comes, they get all messed up. Well, Paul tells the Corinthian church, for our light afflictions, what are our flame? Whatever you're going through, Paul said that it's nothing more than a. It's what a light affliction. Somebody say, well, this stacked up, that stacked up, Paul said it's nothing more than a light affliction. But it worked for you a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory. Well, why? Because I'm not looking at what I see. Because it feeds that I see a temple. But I'm looking at the things that I can't see, because the things I can't see are eternal. We're talking about not having an infatuation salvation. Infatuation salvation won't do for God unless they can see. Right? Paul, the Lord told John, or told Thomas, he said, more blessed are those that they that believe and have not seen. We all infatuation salvation said, I'm going to do it, but I got to see it first. But what I'm truly saying, you know what? I believe and I trust God. So even when I can't see it, I'm going to still go forward in Jesus. Because nothing can turn me around. But when we're governed by all the troubles, you know, if you live in today, it's trouble. The Bible refers to this time as a time of trouble. Scripture called it the time of Jacob's trouble. Because of all the tribulation. Because of all the toil. So it's a time of trouble. If you're living today, no matter who you are, I got trouble. But you know the difference between my salvation and infatuation salvation? I'm not alone. So in my trouble, God is with me. Because thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is
said that the trial of your faith, whatever you're experiencing, don't be an infatuation salvation with thinking. Look at somebody and say,
you've got to be real.
I'm not talking about just going through the motions. I'm not But once I'm out of church, hallelujah, nobody sees me. I can sneak into the nightclub because nobody sees me. I can sneak and take a little sip of this, engage in that because nobody sees me. That's an infatuation. That's not a real salvation. Because the real salvation says, Lord, I surrender. A real salvation gives it all. Many of our relationship with God is just too casual. It's just a casual thing. There are some friends, the Bible says, stick closer than a brother. But then you got acquaintances. An acquaintance don't care nothing about you. If you're going through something, they don't want to come around to you, come out of it. But we got someone who wants to stick real close to you. And when you're going through it, they say, come on, give me.